Well, we're going to move furniture tonight. That's going to be fun, isn't it? I've been writing down names while you guys have been coming in. Let's let these two rows be together. So however you want to fix it. You probably don't want to move, so we'll make everybody move around you. But you will be a group. These two rows. Dave, Diane, Connie, Justin, if I could have you come over here. You'll make this group, you'll even it out. And Ray and Roxanne, I can have you guys be a group. Andrew, I'm going to stick you with a whole group of them. You guys are going to need to go over there. The last row and Andrew and from Melissa over. You guys just all go over there. Okay, these two rows are together, so you might just want the back two rows. So you might just want to turn there, except for Tom. And Tom, if I could add you to this group here, Steve's group. We'll call it Steve's group. And then Joshua, this is your group. However you guys want to. That's going to work out, isn't it? That's going to be okay. I have three passages that we're going to be looking at. What I'd like to do is I'll read them, so we'll just kind of go through them together as I read it out loud. And then I'm going to ask you as a group to discuss certain things about this. And once again, we're going to try to make this as personal as we can. So we're going to allow you to interact with each other in this. Everybody settled, we'll go ahead and begin by reading the first passage. And by the way, is anybody confused about what book we're in? All right, we're in Isaiah. So if you'll pick up with me in Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to pick up here and look at what I have entitled Superficial Worship. Isaiah chapter 1, and we'll just begin in verse 10. Let me read it out loud. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Their incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I can't endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feast. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of bloodshed. That's the first passage we're going to be looking at. Second passage is found in Isaiah chapter 29. We'll be looking at verses 13 and 14 in particular. Isaiah chapter 29. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words, with their lips, they honor me with their lip service. But they remove their heart far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of the discerning men shall be concealed. The last passage we're going to be looking at is a passage that we find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 58. This chapter starts off with him calling upon the prophet to cry out. And he actually says, use your throat, is the way that it's in the Hebrew. He's then goes on and he says, and make it sound like a trumpet, which the point of it is we've got to warn these people. And we've got to make it loud and clear because they're not listening. Cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. And declare to my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day. They delight to know my ways, as a nation that has done righteousness, and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted, and thou dost not see? Why have we humbled ourselves, and thou dost not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire, and you drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife, and to strike the wicked fists. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed, and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless, the poor into the house, when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? In every one of these passages, what we see is a facsimile, a type of worship, but it's all external. God is repeating over and over again, this is not what I'm looking for. This is not what I'm looking for. We read these passages and it's very easy to say, boy, those Judeans, man, they're just bad people. But the fact of the matter is that we all do these things. And so what I want us to do tonight is examine our hearts. Now, let me just, and I just feel like I always have to interject this. Because there might be something on this board that you say, you know, I'm not really guilty of that. But you are. So let me just remind you, in case you forget, 1 John 1, that if you say you have no sin, you're lying. And then he goes on and he says, and it's bad enough that you're lying, but then you make God a liar. So unless you want to turn to God and tell him he's lying because he says that you have done this, then I think it's best for us just to admit it. And so there's something that we all wrestle with these things. And so I'm going to ask you, first of all, to take every section. We've basically read it, so you've had an opportunity just to kind of glance it and think it through. I don't think you have to read it through as a group, but you can just go into the first passage and say, this superficial worship. Now, the thing I want you to ask, basically and fundamentally this, is why is this? Why is this so terrible? What's the big deal? That's the first question I want you to ask, answer. Just why is it so terrible? Why is God so upset? I mean, they're at least coming to worship. What's he upset about? The second question I want you to ask is, have you ever been guilty of doing this very same thing? Now, we've already made it pretty clear you have. To the degree that you want to admit, that's up to you. But I think it's good, without being so specific that it's just plain embarrassing, I think it's good to say, you know what, I wrestle with this. Quite frankly, there are times that I come before the Lord and I'm just not genuine about it. It's just something I do. And my life, I can recall times that my life was not mirroring what God had told me to do. Nevertheless, I was coming to church and going through the motions, and that's all I was doing. So the second question I want you to ask yourselves is, do you identify with this? Then the third question I want you to ask in this is, how would you feel if this were done to you? Now, what you have to do in order to feel this is make this a personal assault. The best way I can describe it is this. What's happening is they're coming to church, they're bringing their offerings, they're bringing their gifts before the Lord, they're bringing their sacrifices. And yet their lives are just the very opposite. The best way I can describe it is this. Say you were to have a birthday party, and you were inviting your loved ones and your friends. Someone comes to the party. You don't know how they got invited. Maybe it was somebody else invited them, but they came. And they came and they brought you a gift. But as they brought you a gift, they went around and they just slandered and destroyed some of the people that you love the most. How would you feel about them bringing you that gift? I mean, you have to put it in this personal level, because what's happening is the very ones that God loves most, they're stepping on, they're spitting on, they're taking advantage of. And God says, how can I accept gifts from you? So how would you feel if this were happening? Now, in every one of these cases, you're going to ask basically the same questions. Each one is going to be portraying a different issue. This is basically, if you think about it, just flattery. It's just hypocrisy. It's lying to people. Have you ever had somebody just really nice to your face, and then you accidentally heard them talking about you? Maybe you just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and you're hearing them say just horrific things about you. Service. How treacherous is that? You don't think about that. There are times that people will say, man, I'm just working so hard and it's all for you. But the bottom line is it's all for them. They want you to think it's for you. But how hurtful is that, even when they say that? So, you're going to basically go through each one and say, okay, what's the big deal with this? And have I ever been guilty of that? And how would I feel if somebody did that to me? Okay, so you have the first passage. It's found in chapter 1, verse 10, and then it goes through verse 23.
Basically, I actually So I'm
Let me summarize Isaiah 58 for you. In Isaiah chapter 58, they seem literally to be shocked over the fact that God doesn't see them as righteous because they're fasting. I mean, I'm shocked that God isn't noticing this. I'm shocked that things are going bad. The subtlety of hypocrisy in our lives. I mean, it's such a powerful force that it blinds us. I mean, so much so we can't see it. We can't see that we're lost. Amos chapter 5, Amos writes, "You say you can hardly wait for the coming of the Lord." Amos turns and he says, "If the Lord came, this would not be a good thing for you. But yet you're saying, come." Isaiah chapter 58, they're saying, "Come, judge." He goes, "I don't think you know what you're talking about. You would all be dead." There is an arrogance that comes into our lives that virtually says everything's okay. It really is no different than the Pharisee who's praying in Luke chapter 18. "Oh God, I'm so glad I'm not like this guy." It's that same heart. I mean, we're just, Matthew chapter 7, we're correcting everybody else and we have a log in our eye. Almost every single text, Malachi, "How have we sinned against thee?" Well, let me tell you. You've held back your offerings and your tithe. "How have we held back our tithe?" It's like they don't even have a clue. That's us. I mean, if you're sitting back and you're going, "I don't do lip service." Yeah, we do all the time. I was just thinking, just in a very simple thing, oftentimes at home, when you say goodbye to a loved one, and we say, "Bye, I love you." Did you think through that? After a while, it just becomes rote. God is so sincere, He would stop us every time at the door and say, "What? What did you mean by that? You love me, or are you just saying that?" And every single time, God would have us examine ourselves. Now, I want to ask you something. How do I know that I'm doing these things? What are the telltale signs that this is creeping into my life? I'm going to show you basically three things that come into your life. Superficial worship, how do I know? I see no connection to church and my life. I go to church, I live my life. There's no connection. Did that ever happen to you? You go to church, life goes on. Lip service. I feel no sincerity when I say what I say. There's no heart in what I say. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever said things that you didn't mean from your heart? Lip service. Memorize. Force speech. You know, one of the reasons why, and I know I'm going to be misunderstood in this, but I would actually discourage you from memorizing Scripture. Because if you have to work at it to remember it, you don't love it. Now, I know some people probably disagree about that. But I have found the things I love, I remember. And I think it's better to love something first, then remember it, than force yourself. Now, it's better to stick it in your head. And of course, as children, you teach them rote memory because they're according to the law. But hopefully as they grow up, you want them to do what they do because they love. Because what is God looking for? It's a relationship, I mean. Do you think God is endeared to us when we stand before Him and say, "Let me share with you what I've memorized"? False devotion. You know how I know I'm going into false devotion? I'm asking what's in it for me. If you start serving and you're asking, what am I going to get out of this? What's in it for me? You're heading down false devotion. Oh, you're working hard. You can be working real hard. But who are you working for? What are you working for? They go, we're fasting. It's just like the psalmist says, what good has my living and purity done? Wait a minute, I thought you loved purity. Oh, that's right. I love purity. That's right. As long as it pays. As long as I get something out of it. Do you love what is right because it's right? Or are you always looking for that payoff? All of these things begin to creep in our life. Hebrews chapter 10, just take a moment, look at that with me. Hebrews, what a wonderful book, because what does it talk about? Shadows and the real. And it compares the shadows with the real. What are the shadows? The external. Guys, I hope you maybe bought some flowers for your girlfriends or something about during Valentine's. But that's the external. What really counts is the heart. And the external is kind of an introduction, but it will never be a substitute for the genuine, for the real. The real is here. The flower is just a shadow. It doesn't count, really. If there's no heart behind it, what value is it? So in Hebrews chapter 10, he starts talking about, he says, you know what? The blood of bulls and goats never could take away sin. They were a shadow. You say, well, what was God looking for? Heart. Why have them sacrifice these animals? How dead is this heart? It's pretty dead, right? What's going to get your attention? That maybe your sin is bad. Something has to die. I wish that weren't true, but it is, because we're very flippant about our sin and the treachery that we share with others and the way that we oppress other people. We think nothing about it. So God says, okay, kill an animal for that. And I can just imagine how graphic every time they lay this animal on the sacrifice and slaughter that animal. They're going, that was my sin that did that. Can you imagine? That'd make you think, wouldn't it? Well, it was pointing to, of course, the cross. And what God was saying all along is, I'm trying to get your heart to wake up. What are you looking for, God? Read this with me. Therefore, verse 5, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasures. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And God said, that's what I was looking for. Somebody that wanted to. The wonderful thing about our Lord and Savior is he came and wanted to for you and me. Talk about sincerity. Talk about genuineness. You know, we live in a world of hypocrisy. To see Jesus, what a breath of fresh air. I mean, when he says, let not your heart be troubled, I'm going to fix stuff. He does. And he follows it through till death. And when he says, I'm going to come back, he does. What a wonderful thing to see someone real and genuine. He does not say one thing and mean another. He actually does love us. And he turns to his Father in that wonderful prayer in John, and he says, I want them coming with me. And so he made it so. I thought a good way to close tonight would be just be to have some prayer time in your groups, and you know, maybe just through examining this again. It's just good to come before the Lord and just say, I give you my heart. I want to be real about this. I don't want to play church. I know how insulting that must be to you. I know what you're looking for is somebody that will say, you know what, I want to do your will. May the heart of Christ flow through us. So, just close in prayer, maybe three or four of you, and then just have somebody close in the group.